February 4 through February 10th, Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapters 4 and 5. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. As you study Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapters 4 and 5, record your spiritual impressions. This will invite inspiration on how to best meet the needs of your class. You might also consider using Come Follow Me for individuals and families, as well as this outline to find additional ideas. Invite sharing. This week's reading includes this statement, quote, "They were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power," end quote. From Luke chapter 4, verse 32, see also Mark chapter 1, verse 22. What verses can class members share from these chapters that help them feel that doctrinal power for themselves?
Teach the doctrine. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Heavenly Father has given us the power and means to resist temptation. The account of the Savior resisting Satan could help class members recognize ways in which Satan tries to tempt them. Class members could select one of the temptations in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, or Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, and think of a modern, related temptation. The statements and additional resources might help. Why is it helpful to know that the Savior faced temptations similar to those we face today? Why was Christ able to resist temptation? For other scriptural examples of people resisting Satan, see Genesis chapter 39, verses 7 through 20, 2 Nephi chapter 4, verses 16 through 35, and Moses chapter 1, verses 10 through 22. One way to encourage discussion about Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, could be to write two questions on the board. What do we learn about Christ from this story? And what do we learn about Satan? Then invite class members to search the passages to find answers to these questions and write their answers on the board. What could help your class resist temptation? You could ask class members to review instances in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, or Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, in which the Savior's knowledge of the Scriptures helped him respond to Satan by saying, "It is written." Give class members time to find and share scriptures that could fortify and strengthen them when they feel tempted. For ideas, they could look in the topical guide entry on temptation. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 30. Jesus Christ is the prophesied Messiah. To help your class members better understand this account, you might explain that the titles Messiah and Christ both mean the anointed. As they read Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 21, ask them to think about what it means to say that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, or the Anointed One. They may also find it helpful to read Anointed One in the Bible dictionary. How does Jesus declare that he is the Messiah today? Invite class members to share how they came to know that Jesus Christ is their Savior. There may be some helpful lessons to learn by exploring why the people of Nazareth did not accept Jesus as the prophesied Messiah. One way to do this could be to contrast their attitudes with those of the widow of Zarephath and Naaman in the Old Testament. You could contact some class members in advance and ask them to come prepared to summarize each of these accounts. See 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 24, and 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 17, and Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 30. What do these accounts teach us about miracles and responding to God's servants? Do class members see any messages for today's church members in the Savior's words to the people of Nazareth? Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. The commitment to follow Christ means accepting His will and forsaking our own. Sometimes the direction the Lord gives us doesn't make sense at first. Class members could search Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, looking for what the Savior asked of Peter and why Peter might have doubted His instructions. How might this experience have affected Peter's views about the Savior and himself? you could invite class members to share experiences in which they demonstrated their faith in divine guidance, despite not having a complete understanding. What was the result when they exercised their faith? Just as the fishermen forsook all to follow Jesus Christ, from Luke chapter 5, verse 11, there are things we have to forsake to become his disciples. What does Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22 imply about the attitudes and faith of Peter, Andrew, James, and John? It might be helpful to bring a fishing net to class and invite class members to write down things they are willing to forsake or have already forsaken to follow Christ and place them in the net. Consider inviting a few class members to share how their lives have changed as they have chosen to forsake all to follow the Savior. Encourage learning at home. To inspire class members to read John chapters 2 through 4 during the coming week, you could ask them to ponder what they think it means to be born again. Tell them that next week's reading will help them answer this question.
Additional resources: Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapters 4 and 5. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus declares he is the Messiah. Video, LDS.org. Types of temptation. After speaking of the types of temptation that the Savior faced in the wilderness, President David O. McKay taught, quote, "Every temptation that comes to you and me comes in one of three forms. First, a temptation to the appetite or passion. Second, a yielding to pride, fashion, or vanity. Number three, a desire for worldly riches or power and dominion over lands or earthly possessions of men," end quote. From Teachings of Presidents of the Church, David O. McKay, page 82. Speaking of Jesus' experience in Matthew 4, Elder Jeffrey R. Holland taught, quote, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." The temptation is not in the eating. The temptation, at least the part I wish to focus on, is to do it this way, to get his bread, his physical satisfaction, relief for his human appetite, the easy way, by abuse of power and without a willingness to wait for the right time and the right way. "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from the pinnacle of this temple." The temptation here is even more subtle than the first. It is a temptation of the spirit, of a private hunger more real than the need for bread. Would God save him? Why not get spiritual confirmation, obtain a loyal congregation, and answer this imp who heckles, all with one appeal to God's power? But Jesus refuses the temptation of the spirit. Denial and restraint are also part of divine preparation. Even the Son of God must wait. The Redeemer, who would never bestow cheap grace on others, was not likely to ask for any himself. "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Satan asks, "What is your price?" Cheap bread you resist, tawdry messianic drama you resist, but no man can resist the world's wealth. Name your price. Satan is proceeding under his first article of faithfulness, the unequivocal belief that you can buy anything in this world for money. Jesus will one day rule the world. He will govern every principality and power in it. He will be King of kings and Lord of lords, but not this way. End quote. From The Inconvenient Messiah, Ensign, February 1984. Improving our teaching. Thank your learners. Quote, "Don't be so absorbed with the lesson that you forget to thank learners for their contributions. They need to know that you appreciate their willingness to share their insights and testimonies." End quote. From Teaching in the Savior's Way, page 33.